a lot of this stuff, it takes time. And the benefits are tremendous, but it takes time. This stuff doesn't happen overnight, like these benefits that we talk about. Yeah. So like a lot of things in life, you got to kind of put your nose down and just do this stuff. Wash, rinse, repeat, over and over again. And then long term, and you kind of look up and you're like, whoa, this really turned out well.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome into the Retirement Cafe. Today's episode, all about the Roth IRA. It's one of the most powerful tools in financial planning. We're going to break it all down today and clear up any questions you might have and really go through the basics, kind of a little bit of history on it, and why it can be so valuable for you in retirement planning. I want to welcome in Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. They are certified financial planners over Avery Wealth. And today, guys, you're going to help us understand everything about Roth IRAs.
I don't know about everything, but we're going to do our best.
We're pretty big fans of the Roth IRA around here. So
for sure.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a great tool and one I utilize as well. And I think more and more people are becoming familiar with it. But I was actually surprised. I mean, I have some friends that I've talked to now that I do a show with you guys, and I'm kind of keyed into financial planning. I've mentioned Roth IRAs to them before, and a couple of guys like had no idea what they were, had no idea about the tax benefits of a Roth IRA. I was surprised that there are a number of people out there that just aren't aware.
I'm going to say that typically people that know about them, from people I've run into, it's because their parents have said, hey, you need to do this.
Yeah.
Like the average person does not understand it and understand why they should be using them or how to use them. Or
they've heard of it, but they really don't understand what it is or how it works.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I know I should have a Roth IRA, but I don't really understand what it is or how it's going to benefit me.
Yeah. And I mean, really, that's one of the biggest reasons we thought this would be a great topic to discuss is because they're so powerful. They can be so beneficial to people. We'll go through some examples today. And yet so few people even understand it.
Yeah.
You know, so basically for a car payment, I hate to say that, you know.
Oh, yeah. You can change your whole life situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's really awesome.
Yeah, it is really awesome. And I think that's why I'm looking forward to this conversation is hopefully we will, you know, bring some awareness to people that aren't too sure about them or how they operate or what the benefits are and maybe change some saving habits along the way. We shall see. But, you know, it's a tool that's been around for 20 years. And maybe that's part of the reason why they're not as well known, right? It's, I guess, relatively new over the, you know, when you look at the big picture. But let's start off with the basics. You know, when did this Roth IRA actually become available and what makes it different than the other options that are out there?
Yeah, I said, first of all, there's a senator named William Roth that kind of came up with this back in 1997. So looking for other ways to help people save efficiently. And so in 98 is when they became law and you could actually use them, right? So like it started out with, and we'll get into some details. I think you put like $2,000 a year, like when they first
back
started.
Then.
Yep. In 19, we say back then. Back I don't then, feel like it was that long ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy that it's that far away, honestly, but we won't get into that.
No,
age us really quickly.
Yeah, but they're really unique amongst like retirement accounts because almost all other retirement accounts, they're similar in a way that the money you put in is pre-tax. So you get a tax deduction or tax break as you put money in, and then it sits there and hopefully grows over the years. And then when you take it out for retirement, it's all taxable, 100% of it, right? So the Roth is unique in the fact that the money you put in is money that you've actually already paid taxes on. So you're putting in money that you've paid taxes on already, and then the growth, as long as you do everything right and you leave it there more than 5 years and you're over 59 and a half, generally speaking, the growth is all going to be tax-free. So it's significantly different. And I've said this probably on the show before. I've always equated it to like farmers.
Yeah.
Like you could have a choice. And so like you could get a tax break on your seeds for your crops. But then when your crops grow up and you go sell them, you pay taxes on everything, right? Or you could say as a farmer, hey, I'll pay tax on the seed. But when my crops grow up and I sell them, it's all going to be tax-free, all that growth, which most farmers would say, Sign me up for that.
Heck yeah.
Every single day, right?
And really, most informed investors should pick the Roth for that same reason. It's just like the seed, right? I mean, we want to make sure that you're getting that the effect of compound interest. I mean, we've heard about that a lot, and we have some a little example of that today, and how powerful that can be over a long period of time. So that growth will, if you're invested in a Roth, for example, for years, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be worth significantly more than what you put into it, and far more of it will be growth and will be contributions over a long period of time.
Yeah, the power is incredible. And I think it goes to, like, I think that's a good kind of lesson for anybody listening, is that a lot of this stuff, it takes time. And the benefits are tremendous, but it takes time. This stuff doesn't happen overnight, like these benefits that we talk about. Yeah. So like a lot of things in life, you got to kind of put your nose down and just do this stuff, wash, rinse, repeat, over and over again. And then long term, and you kind of look up and you're like, whoa, this really turned out well.
Yeah, and I think it's when you actually start seeing that growth that it really kicks in. Because it takes a little while early on, right? It's like anything you do. You're not going to see big changes quickly. But over time, all of a sudden, you'll start noticing it. And then as it compounds, it really takes off. And that's where it's really cool. And you really start appreciating it. So who can contribute then? I mean, is there any limitations for what you can put in here? Who can actually utilize a Roth IRA, or is it pretty free and open?
Unfortunately, there are limitations to it. So you have to have earned income. So if you didn't make an income through a job, right, in a calendar year, then you can't contribute to it. Right?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. People get confused too. Social Security, pensions, that's not earned income.
Right.
That doesn't count.
It's right. Got to be. So you can't collect from Social Security and then turn around and contribute it. It has to be through work. And then there's phase outs that occur for the people who do have earned income. So if you have earned income, you can contribute $6,000 to it if you're under 50, and $7,000 to it if you're over 50, mm-hmm. right? But what happens is if your income is too high, then you start to be phased out from your ability to contribute to a Roth IRA. And so for a single tax filer, it's around $125,000 is where the phase out starts, up to $140,000. So it reduces that amount that you can contribute. So you might only be able to contribute a portion of that $6,000, right? And then if you're married filing jointly, the income limits are higher, as you would expect. And they're $198,000 and phase out around $208,000. So if you've made over $208,000 married filing jointly, you can't contribute to the Roth IRA.
Yeah, and those numbers do slightly change each year. Yep. They're indexed. They've gone up over time. So like you really have to like kind of look each year to see whether you can do it. The one thing that we've seen people get in trouble with that, and you just have to be aware, is that, you know, they'll be really good savers at the beginning of the year. They come and they put that money in, and then they find out at the end of the year they made too much money. There is a process to go through to pull that contribution back out, but it can be a bit of a headache. Yeah. So if you're close to that, our recommendation generally is wait until you know what your income is, make sure you're under that limit. So if you make that contribution, it's safe and you won't have to pull that back out.
Well, are there any other ways to get money into the Roth? Because I know once you've kind of started putting money in here and you see the growth and you think about, man, this is actually money I get to keep when I retire, you want to put more and more in there. But with these limits, it makes it difficult, obviously. So are there any workarounds?
Yeah, it's funny. I just want to comment what you said. I get to keep that. That's one of the best things about looking at your Roth IRA statement. It's all your money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not part of your money.
You don't take 25% off to pay the government for
right.
it. It's your money.
That's really great. There are some other ways to get money. And one of the things you'll hear, like sometimes CPAs, you might see an article on it, they call it kind of a backdoor Roth. And what that is that no matter what you earn, you can generally contribute to what's called a non-deductible IRA. So this gets a little confusing. So like people before Roth were around, sometimes people would put money into IRAs, but they couldn't take a deduction or didn't for some reason. So it would create what's called basis in an IRA, which is money you've already paid taxes on in essence, right? So you can use these non-deductible IRAs, make that contribution, then immediately convert it to a Roth before there's any growth or anything else in it. And it's kind of a tax-free transaction, if you will, to get money into it. Very complicated, and you want to make sure you know what you're doing, you're working with a good CPA so that you don't have any issues with that, right, Brent? That's the one way.
For sure. A Roth conversion would be another way that you could do it, right? So you could convert money from from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. That's all taxable as income in the year that you do that, but you can transfer that over and do a Roth conversion.
Yeah, and you can do that at any age. I think Sometimes people think, oh, I thought you could only do that when you get to retirement. No, you can do a Roth conversion anytime. You just have to look at what's my income right now. Yeah. You know, does it make sense or not?
So like in the past couple of years, maybe with COVID or things like that, where people maybe had less income coming in, that could have been an opportunity, right? So that is an example. Mm-hmm. Maybe your income was significantly lower and you had some IRA money that you can convert and you had the ability to pay the taxes for that. It would be a great time to do it when your income is lower, right?
Yeah, yeah. And another way to get into, there's kind of two ways to get money into Roth accounts. One of them you're seeing more and more is Roth 401ks, which those don't have the income limits that a traditional Roth IRA has. So Roth 401k is just an option in your 401k plan at work where you may have pre-tax and Roth options where you could get some money in that way. And then the after-tax accounts, like some bigger 401k plans will have the ability to like hit your limit. So like, you know, let's say you're under 50 and you could put $19,000 in your 401k, right? That $19,000 would apply to the combination of any Roth contributions or pre-tax contributions. Not money your employer puts in, just what you put in. And then some will let you continue to put more money in what's called an after-tax account. Those are powerful, right?
Yes.
Because if you leave it alone and you wait till you separate from service from that company, generally speaking, you can roll that after-tax pot of money into a Roth.
Yes.
Right? It's a long-term play, but that can be pretty darn powerful.
Yeah, and the other great thing about Roth 401ks is just that the contribution limits are much higher, but the income limits are gone, right? So, and I know you mentioned that, but it's a really important point is that in a regular Roth that we talked about earlier when I was discussing how the $6,000 that you could put in the income limits, you don't have those income limits anymore. So you can make as much money as you want and still use that part. And then you have your regular 401k contribution limit, 19.5 in 2021, or an extra $6,500 if you're over 50. So you could put $26,000 in 2021 into Roth money in your 401k if you have that available to you in your plan.
Yeah, it's awesome. And one thing we didn't know, which I wish I would have a little bit earlier, and we're talking about just regular contributions at $6,000 if you're under 50 or 7 if you're over. Money that you contribute to a Roth through that regular contributions, you can get back out if you had an emergency. Like without any taxes or penalties. You can't get growth really without some specific things being met. But that's a pretty nice thing. And we tell a lot of younger people, hey, you don't really have that much of a risk because if you had to get at it, you could. You
know, it's probably the last money you want to touch because of the compounding, but you're right. It's always money that you can get at if there's some type of an emergency that's unaccounted for.
Yeah, some people will actually use that as a kind of a college savings tool.
Yes.
Because they're like, well, all that money I put in, I can take back out and use it towards my child's college down the road. But while it's in there, it's getting all the tax-free growth on it, right? Now, again, it's not perfect. Like, you'd prefer to leave tax-free money in as long as you can. But it gives you options, which is all about good planning. So,
all about good planning. Quickly touching back on those the options you have with your employer. Typically, I guess these things I would imagine aren't always that advertised by your employer necessarily. So, I guess it's always probably a good idea just to reach out to your HR. Would they be able to help you kind of determine what options are available for you, whether you have the Roth 401k or this other after tax option?
Yeah,
it's not. You're right, Ben. That's not really often advertised. And a lot of times as we're talking to people, I know, well, I'd have to check, when the question comes up, do you have a Roth option in your 401k? A lot of people have no idea.
Yeah they
and
don't know.
Come to find out they do have it, right?
Yeah. And the one thing I'll tell you too that's kind of, and it confuses people a bit, employer contributions are always in pre-tax accounts. So you don't get your match in Roth. And the reason is they would have to count that as payroll to you.
Right.
Okay.
And so they don't want to do that because that would create all kinds of other issues, right?
Yeah.
So like you just have to be aware. People ask, well, I'm using the Roth at work, but how come all the match is going in? I still have a pre-tax account. That's why. So it's good to know.
Gotcha. Well, you talked earlier about the value of tax-free distributions from a Roth IRA. When you actually do the math and look at what this means, does it really amount to a significant benefit?
This is awesome because Dan did put together like a spreadsheet, and I wish there you could have a picture of my eyes when I saw it. And I already know this, though, and I was like, that can't even be right. It's so amazing.
Yeah. Can I say on the air how much I love Excel? I think that might be. That's well, not a great pickup line if you're trying to get a date, by the way.
If anyone's listening to the show, they probably know that because you guys always have a lot of numbers on the show, which I love because it does kind of lays it out clearly for you.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty amazing. So on this spreadsheet, what I did is I said, hey, if you get out of college, let's say you get out and at 23 you're working and you say, hey, I am going to do this. Like, I'm going to put in my $6,000 a year up until I'm 49, and then from 50 through 64, so I just assumed retirement at 65, I'm going to do the $7,000. Now, the truth is those numbers will likely increase. Who cares, right? This is just an exercise. So if you look at that, the total amount of money that you've put in through those years would have been about $267,000 total contributions, right? So we used just an 8% growth. So we're just like, we didn't use 10 or we used 8% growth, which if you're investing in stocks, I think that's reasonable over that period of time. So at age 65, you would have, and this is just kind of crazy, almost exactly $2 million, you know,
yeah,
at 65.
So I just want to take a second here because so you, in this example, just so everybody's clear, you paid tax each year on $6,000 and then $7,000. So you pay tax on $267,000 and you avoided tax on basically all the growth of $1.8 million.
Yeah, you have $1.8 million in growth. That's just to that point.
Right.
That's where it really gets fun because now you've got $2 million in a tax-free account. What'd you say, Benny, earlier? That's all my money.
Yeah, that's money I get to keep.
It is. That's all your money.
Well, when I look at my 401k, I look at it and go, well, I know that this isn't how much I get, and I don't know how much I'm going to get because I don't know what taxes are going to be eventually, right? So I have no clue, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, no, that's for sure. And you don't know, but this you know. And so for fun, I said, oh, let's say at 65 through, I'm, you know, an eternal optimist. I want you to live to 100. So I've got you living to 100. So what if you took out $80,000 a year from age 65 through 100? And I didn't do that math, but it's a lot of money you took out. Well, at the end, at age 100, when you died, you still had almost $16 million in there.
And wow, it's all your money.
And it's all your, you know, we'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
Somebody's money, tax-free.
It's all somebody's money because they're going to inherit that.
Tax-free. I mean, it's crazy to think about. Like, and by the way, if you are a married couple and you each did that, now we've got double that. And by the way, what's beautiful about that whole thing is that taking that $80,000 in this example, you could have taken more out, but taking $80,000 a year out, it didn't affect any of your other taxes.
Right.
Because that doesn't really show up anywhere. It's just tax-free income. Hmm. Pretty incredible.
It really is, and it does give you a true sense of how much of a difference it does make over time. It might seem like a little bit, $6,000 a year maybe doesn't seem like it's going to add up too much, but you get that growth, and it's pretty eye-opening. Does having a Roth IRA money versus, you know, pre-tax accounts like the traditional IRA or the 401ks that we're used to make much of a difference in retirement?
It does. It's ridiculous how much it does, and I think that last spreadsheet and those numbers that Dan went through really show that, because if you were paying income tax on all of that, I mean, I always like to think of a way to think of what you were saying, Ben, is like, all right, let's say that our Roth IRA money is probably worth 25 to 30% more, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's a lot of other things, and we had a recent episode on RMDs, but required minimum distributions, that's a big part of this whole conversation, because with the RMD, as we talked about, that's a lot of forced income a lot of times that can create some tax problems. And this can really help you reduce your tax rates over your lifetime.
Oh, man. Like I was thinking about that $80,000 example. Well, let's say you're married and you both worked. You've got Social Security. Well, here's the beauty. If the rest of your income's tax-free, you're paying zero tax on your Social Security too, right?
Right.
But what happens when we know that when we start having that taxable income pop up, now we've got taxes on Social Security, we might have additional Medicare premiums, like all these other things.
Yes.
I mean, the result is eye-opening, to say the least. And you can be so much further ahead if you've got a nice chunk of money in that tax-free bucket. And so, and what's crazy is like, really, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you may not be able to do 5,000 or 6,000 a year, but you can start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, if you're married and, you know, like I said, that's what lots of people are paying, $500 a month on a car payment.
And it's just like what you're talking about. It, when you're in retirement, and so if you think about different buckets of money, if you have pre-tax money, which comes out as income, right? You have Roth money. Let's just say that you have those two buckets,
mm-hmm.
right? It gives you the ability to control your income in retirement and control your taxes. If all you have is pre-tax, then guess what? You need extra money. You pay a lot more taxes.
Yep.
And it just all adds on top of itself. And so just giving you the option saves you a ton of money in taxes.
It does. Absolutely.
A lot of benefits there for sure. I want to circle back to the Roth conversions that you touched on briefly earlier in this podcast and kind of go through those for a minute. How do these work, and where are the value in the Roth conversions versus the Roth IRA?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, in a real simple format, you're just taking money from a pre-tax account that's going to all be taxed down the road, and you're moving that into a Roth account, and it does create taxable income. So if you converted $10,000 from your IRA to your Roth IRA, you're going to get a 1099 that says $10,000 of income, right?
Right.
And so the process is actually pretty straightforward. The beauty of it is you can do it at any age, right? You can do any amount.
Yep.
And
you can do it some years and not other years.
Yeah. Right? And what you're really doing is, it's really just a math problem. You're doing like, hey, if I pay this tax today, is this going to be a good investment or a bad investment 10 years from now or 20 years from now, right? For a lot of people, when they wait till later on, when they get to retirement, it's really an immediate tax play. Like I did one today, just as an example, where they did some systematic Roth conversions. Well, the plan is to like execute those over the next 10 years. It was going to save them, this is kind of crazy, but it's real math, like it's estimated to save them $275,000 in taxes from through the rest of their lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's an investment, right? But you have to understand how it applies right. to you.
And you have to be willing to prepay the taxes. And so a lot of times, again, people are just like, well, I have to pay more in taxes than I was mm-hmm. supposed to. But as you mentioned, this is an investment, right? Prepaying your tax can be an investment, and it pays off a lot of times, big time.
Yeah, we see sometimes people have been good savers and they got quite a bit of money in the bank. And I'm like, you know what? The best thing you do with some of that cash is to send it to the IRS.
Yes, pay tax with it.
And I mean, it is. And it's like, it has an incredible impact on their plan. And so there's a lot of neat things you can do with Roth conversions.
Yeah, definitely something you want to have a conversation about with your advisor if you haven't already. Are the Roth IRA any different in terms of when you pass away? Does anything different happen to your Roth IRA versus the other accounts that you have?
I mean, not a lot different, just the taxes stay with it, like the tax-free nature. So okay. if your spouse gets it, there's really no yeah, change. It's no. almost like they own it.
Right.
So like they don't have any required minimum distributions. They can take out money whenever they want. As they take it out, it's tax-free. It'd be no different than if it was their account, right?
Right.
Okay.
And if it's a non-spouse, then you have the 10-year rule. So you basically have 10 years to get the distribute the money from that account in a tax-free way. So when you take it out, it's tax-free. But then from there, you're going to have a after-tax account.
Yeah. So like a little quick planning tip of the day. So if you inherit a Roth IRA and you have not been funding your own Roth IRA, or maybe you don't have the money, take, if you're married, you know, depending if you're under 50, over 50, let's say you're over 50, take $14,000 a year out of the IRA that you inherited, put it into your wife's and your own IRA. And, you know, you can, and yeah. now you're not going to get it all out probably, but maybe you can. But now it's your IRA and there's no more 10-year rule on the money you put into your own account. That can be a really easy way to move some of that money and you know, not have to worry about all of it at the 10th year, taking it all out at one time.
Some more powerful tax benefits there as well. So the Roth IRA definitely is an important tool for your savings and for your future. And hopefully you got a lot out of this conversation. But is there any core message that you'd pass on to anybody listening today that you'd want them to leave this episode with?
Yeah, number one is the more money you can get into the tax-free accounts, the better off you're probably going to be. Really, funding a Roth should be a priority, really, no matter what age you are, if you're working. If you can do it, that should be high on your list. Even if that means, hey, just get whatever you have to put in to get your match at work, then fund your Roth, then maybe go back to that other account for savings, but real important. taxes are going to be one of the biggest challenges most people face with retirement planning if they've been decent savers. That's a key point. You know, really be careful with things like conversions, after-tax retirement rollovers, that non-deductible IRA contribution and conversion we talked about. A lot of that stuff works well, but you just have to fully understand it and make sure you're doing it correctly, because otherwise you might have more problems than you realized, and you don't want the IRS knocking on your door saying, hey, you know what, Ben, you did that wrong, right?
Don't want that, no.
No. And really just following, just always work with qualified people. Find a certified financial planner, a certified public accountant. You know, those are the types of people that can help you understand this stuff better, and so that you're making really wise decisions and putting yourself in the best position for a really solid retirement plan.
I love it, guys. And as always, very helpful for anyone that's looking to learn more about Roth IRAs. And you know, feel free to spread the word and share this with a friend, family, maybe your kids too, if you want them to learn more about it. But it is a powerful tool. And as you saw from some of those examples on the money and the interest, it can really, really add up over the course of your lifetime heading to retirement. So make sure you reach out to an advisor, have a conversation about that. And Dan and Brent over at Avery Wealth would be happy to have that conversation with you. You can find them online at averywealth.com. We'll also put the podcast up there as well, along with all the other shows. And you can call them directly at 517-783-1695. Dan and Brent, enjoyed it as always. I think this is an important topic. I'm glad we covered it.
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully everybody finds that valuable.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.